Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Manda rabaka shatale dabasu teliakaba. We give you glory, O God. We give you glory, O God. We give you glory, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Karaba dele kozo lobara de shekala basila katala. Hallelujah. Reba satalia mbusu teliaka labarate shekatala. We give you glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I want you to keep an open heart tonight, because as the word of God proceeds, lives will be changed. As the word of the Lord proceeds, people are going to receive instructions. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We give you glory, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for every heart and we receive grace. We receive grace. Hallelujah. We receive grace. We receive grace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. So today, I want to share very briefly with us on how to identify and manage covenant relationships. How to identify and manage covenant relationships. So let me read 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 1 to 3. He says, and it came to pass that when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, and even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Now, that is the first scripture I want to read. I want to also read from Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. If you are watching on Facebook, please kindly do us a favor and help us share this broadcast. And same thing for those who are connecting from YouTube. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. It says, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Okay, so that's Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. Now I want to read 1 Timothy chapter, I think maybe that should be 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Now that's a powerful one, but that's not where we're going tonight. Verse 2, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now that's the third scripture I want to read to you. Let me see if I can get one more scripture for you, and then we can start sharing. Okay, look at Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, verse 12 to 15. Let me see if I can get that out here on my own Bible. Exodus chapter 4. verses 12 to 15. Now this scripture is where God actually laid his hand upon Moses and called him. Now, you know, it didn't occur to me initially that when God called Moses that he actually rejected the call. Initially, I just felt like, oh, he was, maybe he was scared, or maybe he was lost in glory. You know, there are some of us here, when God calls us, we just get lost in glory. We are quick to say yes. But for someone like Moses, Moses actually rejected it, you know, and the Bible says God was angry with him. So, look at verse 12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth, and I will teach you what you will say. And he said, Lord, oh my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou will send. If you read other versions, what he says, look for another person. Get someone else. I'm not the kind of guy you are looking for, you know. And verse 14, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know he can speak well. And behold, he cometh forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. Now, if you read other versions, what you will find there is that Aaron shall be your prophet. Aaron shall be your prophet. So, let me quickly rush over this. Let me start from what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I am writing this letter to you as your father. Paul said, I'm writing this letter to you as your spiritual father. I'm not one of them preachers. I'm not one of those people who just fancy people. I mean, some people preach for the stage. Some people preach for the claps. Some people preach for the glamour. But a father goes into the trenches with you. I'm teaching this evening on how to identify and manage spiritual covenant relationship. Now, this is just a part of it. So don't, if you heard this message, you didn't hear everything. Okay? So Paul identified Timothy as his son. Now, the scripture says, though you may have many teachers or instructors, you have not many fathers. There is an error I see today where people choose fathers based on the ability to teach. If somebody is a very fantastic preacher or someone, so you just think, oh, this is going to be my father in the Lord. We revere ministers of God and we call them fathers. But it is important for you to know your own father, because it is in that lineage that your inheritance will be transferred. Without a father, your inheritance will be lost. It will be lost. So this is very, very important. But today's emphasis is not so much about spiritual fathers, but I just felt I should start from there. We have a mostly fatherless generation. We have a mostly untaught generation. You see, a teacher may impart knowledge to you, but what a father does is that he trains you. A father doesn't just teach you, he trains you. Okay? For instance, my son, you know, goes to a particular school, and they teach him. If my son misbehaves, they can't beat him. They will just probably bring it to my notice or give him a kind of mild punishment. But if I get there, I can do more than try to reason with my son. I won't have to reason with him, because I'm paying the fees. Okay? I won't reason with him. So I'm saying that there are certain things a teacher may try to explain to you. A father doesn't just teach you, or somebody with a fatherhood spirit doesn't just teach you. He trains you, and training is practical. He will walk you through it. He will walk you through it. So this is, of course, a type of covenant relationship. So when you have a spiritual father, you must see that relationship for what it is. You must see it for what it is. Don't. Yeah, we are going to have times. We are going to play. We are going to have fun and all. But you've got to see your spiritual father for who he is. Okay. So this is very, very important. I will come back to this, hopefully, or maybe I'll do an entire teaching on spiritual fathers. You know, maybe so. If I get a good vote, I'll do that. So, but these things are what we all need. But if there's anything I just try to achieve now, is to let you know that you don't choose a spiritual father based on how his ability to preach. He may be able to teach better than your spiritual father, but the grace to nurture you may not be with that man. And please, somebody should hear what I just said. I said somebody may be a better teacher or preacher than your dad, your spiritual father, but the grace to nurture you and sit with you and be patient with you when you lose your mind that you are going crazy may not be with that person, because if you call him, he will not pick. He will not pick, and he may not even get back to you. Okay, so if you are here, don't put yourself in a fatherless position. Very, very important. Now let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. The Bible says the soul of Jonathan was knit to the heart of David, and he loved him as his own soul. Now I'm going to show you indicators how you can trace and identify some of these things so that you are not making mistakes. Again, I think there was a message I was teaching on prophetic perceptions where I spoke about Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. And I was trying to explain that you cannot really go very far in your walk with God in determining how God intends to train you or advance his will in your life if your soul is mostly unrenewed. Your soul plays a very important role. And when I talk about your soul, I'm talking about these faculties that have your mind, your will, your emotions, your intellect, your imagination, your memory, your subconscious levels, you know. These areas must be yielded one by one to the Lord. If not, you may see somebody that is supposed to be your spiritual father and you'll be falling in love with him. I'm telling you. And you may not even know why you are having that kind of love. Maybe it is a love that speaks of being genuinely endeared, but because the mind is unrenewed, it will give a different interpretation to that spiritual connection. Now, this thing I just say is very deep, but some of you may know, some of you may have an idea what I just said. You get close to somebody or you see somebody and somewhere in your mind, like, there's this connection, you don't really know the person, but just seeing that person once, there was a very strange connection you have to this person. So it's looking like love at first sight for you. But later, you now realize that it was your soul trying to misinterpret what God was doing. And over time, you realize that, oh, this person was put in my life because God wanted to do this. And then everything went back to normal. So, but if your only definition of love is a relationship with somebody, you are going to be having a lot of issues when God brings people into your life. So that's the same thing we have here with Jonathan. If like my friends who are in the gay community say that David was gay, they say David and Jonathan, they have a kind of gay arrangement. So if that was true, then we should see it here. Now look at what this guy said. He said he loved David as his own soul. What does it mean to love someone as your own soul? It means to love him love him with everything that you have. When you love somebody like your own soul, there is nothing physical you cannot give to that person. There is nothing you would go out of your way to make that person happy. Now, please don't even sweat it. These kind of relationships are not many. Don't sweat it. Don't even try to imagine. Because even between a husband and a wife, they may not fulfill this condition. I'm telling you. So, but leave it. Okay? Now, unfortunately, Saul did not even understand the kind of relationship that was being forged between his son and his friend. He didn't understand it. In fact, there was a time Saul was going to send out soldiers to kill David. It was the intervention of Jonathan that stopped that onslaught. Okay? That stopped that onslaught. And the father could not understand why Jonathan would take such a position. And he even went as far as telling his son that, don't you know this boy, David, is going to take the kingdom away from you? But it didn't mean anything. It didn't mean anything to Jonathan. As far as Jonathan was concerned, if it happens to my covenant brother, then I'm still the one that is there. So if something good is happening to your sister around you, that you claim to be your prayer partner, your covenant partner, and you are jealous, that means you are a Saul, you are not a Jonathan. Because one of the highlights, and maybe I'll come and teach on the spirit of Saul, one of the highlights you see, the indicators to identify someone with the spirit of Saul, is the spirit of jealousy. A Saul doesn't have the requirement to be king, but by some stint of luck, he finds himself there. But when he sees the hand of God on somebody below him, he can't stand it. There are people that cannot imagine that there is somebody more anointed than them. They can't imagine it. They can't imagine that somebody in the office is more skillful than they are. You know, so when you begin to notice that this, you know that the spirit of Saul is in your house. Okay? So, listen, there are many people are experiencing problems today in their relationships, in their lives, that they have no business dealing with if they had covenant relationships. Okay? There are things you are... Listen to me. There are things you are going through. Some of you have been through through very difficult situations, and you picked your phone 1 a.m. In the middle of the night, and you could not even think of one person to call that will pick your call. And that person will wake up and pick your call. So that's a serious matter. Because if somebody says it's your covenant friend, that person cannot, not only can he wake, he will wake you up at night, he can wake up your wife. That's how profound that kind of relationship is. I don't have too many of them, but when my personal covenant friends come to my house, they have the liberty to sleep on my own bed. That's how serious it is. On my own bed, though, with their wife, they can sleep on it. In fact, there was a day one of them came. I went to the parlor to sleep with my wife. We slept on the floor, but he slept in the room. But there was an extra room. But we felt that room was not worthy enough. Please hear what I'm saying. We had 3 rooms in the house. But my wife felt that those rooms were not worthy enough. It didn't define the kind of relationship that we had with this person. So we left our own room, our own bed for that person. So this is serious stuff here. I'm not talking about Facebook relationship. I'm not talking about metaverse. Neither am I talking about DM relationship. You understand? If you send me a DM on where they send DM? On Instagram. I may see it after 1 week because I don't even know how that thing works. You understand? I'm trying to catch up. You know, but but for some people, that's where you can find them. They're always on Instagram. You know, but let me leave you with this, just for a thought. I will come back, because some of you think I hate all these people. I don't hate all these metaverse mutant people. I don't hate them. Why would somebody, and this is something a man of God mentioned, and it really struck me. And please, I want you to think about it. Pastor Ego, listen to what I'm about to say. Why would somebody go to all this wahala, this stress of putting up servers, putting up powerful websites, several servers in the space, running offices all over the continent, you know, and in several continents? only to give you a platform that is free. Have you thought about that? Somebody, for instance, gives you Facebook, creates all these servers and all of that, and everything they are doing is what? Is to give you a free product. And that's because actually you are the product. That's why it's free. That's why it's free. I don't know if somebody is listening to me now. The service is free because you are the product. I don't know if somebody is there. So when you spend all your time there, and every time you see entertainment, just know that certain things follow entertainment. Number one, John the Baptist lost his head after an entertainment. I don't know if somebody said it was after a woman danced that John the Baptist lost his head. Things happen when there's entertainment. Every time you find entertainment, there is no commitment to it. People just want to have fun. You can't find covenant relationships there. If everything that defines your bestie or your sister in the Lord, your brother in the Lord, is that you guys just have a good time, there is nothing useful that comes out of entertainment except that you are just having fun. And I've also noticed that every time there's a conversation around entertainment, it is because they are trying to get valuable information away from you. They don't want you to notice. Something is going on. And that's why you notice your government. Every time they want to do something, they will create a distraction for Nigerians. Maybe one minister will say something that is crazy. People will start arguing about it. Then they go ahead and do what they want to do. It's a strategy that has worked since eternity. So this is not really, it's not anything really against all these metaverse people. No, I don't have a problem with that. After all, we are actually on metaverse now. What I'm telling you is that if you want to stand any chance of surviving the battles that will be coming in the years to come, you cannot live your life online, because those relationships, they are very fleek. They are not real, you know. So everybody gives you their best version online. So no, you need to get into the space to realize that this particular guy is not as tall as he is supposed to be. So if you are dealing with covenant relationships, you cannot look at the concept of covenant relationships from a 21st century. You have to go back. That's why I went to all those stories I was telling you now. You have to go back. And if you look at the way God operates, he never goes close to a person until he cuts covenant with them. Whether it's Abraham, whether it's Moses, there must be an agreement. He enters into a covenant with them. Look at someone like David. He got to a point, God said, I have found David my servant. That means God had been searching. He finally found a man. So it's not, you can't understand the concept of covenant relationships by looking at what you see, and you have to go back and search. So what's a covenant relationship? A covenant relationship is a divinely established relationship where two people are connected by God for the fulfillment of his own will on earth. Let me repeat. A covenant relationship is a divinely established relationship where two people are connected by God for the fulfillment of his own will on earth. That means everywhere you see that God is interested in two people being together, whether it's through marriage or ministry or whatever, there is something God wants to do. And I've noticed that when people are in that kind of a combo, you see the kind of power it's very profound. You look at someone like what's this prophet that died? William Branham. William Branham was in a covenant relationship with Gordon Lindsay, right? Gordon Lindsay. So, but William Branham is a prophet. And the nature of his anointing is that he, you know, some of all the things we see in Nigeria today, people calling out names, phone numbers, they didn't start in Africa. They started with William Branham. Okay? And I remember Duncan Williams was ministering and he spoke about how he went abroad and he saw a particular white man who was preaching and he was calling names, numbers, addresses, you know, medical conditions. And he said, oh, this thing is fake. Then the man said, there's a young preacher from Africa here who doesn't believe what I'm doing. He said, how do you explain that one? You don't believe, and I'm telling you that you that guy, you're from Africa. He could have said, So that's how they became covenant friends. So you need, that's a level of prophetic. It's not the guessing game. Okay? So God brings you into covenant relation like William Branham. William Branham did not know how to teach. He was a preacher and a prophet. So his own ministry was to minister the prophetic and healing and deliverance. God gave him Gordon Lindsay the way he gave Aaron to Moses. Aaron, your assignment is to pick the frequency at which Moses is operating from, which means that for him to be able to do that, he must be equally skilled in the same level of anointing that Moses operates in. If not, he will be picking the wrong frequency. That even though Aaron will not be as, in quote, seemingly as powerful, but he will have all the levels of anointing for him to be able to interpret. Because in case you think Aaron is a small boy, God took 70 people and gave the same anointing to them, and Aaron, Moses did not diminish in his anointing. That's how powerful Moses was. So look at everywhere there was a relationship, covenant relationship. The day there was a rebellion, somebody died. Aaron rebelled against his brother. Abi? Aaron rebelled against his brother, spoke against, eventually he died. Gordon Lindsay. Gordon Lindsay was hurt by the prophet William Branham. William Branham died. Jonathan took a position against his covenant brother and he died. I'm not saying every case it has to lead to death now, because somebody is afraid now. Someone doesn't want to have a covenant relationship again. You understand? And please, in case you are there and your own idea of covenant relationship is, he doesn't call people, he doesn't do anything. It's not your covenant friend, it's your friend. You understand? It's just your friend. Covenant friends don't relate at that level, like, we need to talk every day. It's not like that. So please, just, that's why I told you, if you want to understand this, you have to go back. It's not a DM thing. It's not a WhatsApp thing. Okay? So this is a very important. Examples of covenant relationships, you can have like a spousal thing, a husband to a wife. That's a type of covenant relationship, because until you die, you are stuck there. So if you are one of those people that lied that she's your wife, simply because there was something you were looking at, and then after 6 months you realize she's not catwalking anymore, and then you now fear, you know, that you made a mistake. Oga, we have joined you. You stay there, and God will give you the grace. You know, so we have a spiritual father, spiritual son relationship. That's another type of covenant relationship. We also have covenant brothers. You can have a covenant brother or a covenant sister. I'm yet to see a covenant brother, covenant sister. Mostly it's covenant brother, or covenant star, covenant sister. So I'm not seeing covenant brother, covenant sister. I'm yet to, but I've not seen. Maybe they are there, and if you are there, you can shout hallelujah from where you are, but I haven't seen anyone. But maybe they are there, but it could be very rare. Then our relationship with God is also a covenant relationship. Our relationship with God, your own relationship with God, is a covenant. That's why God gets hot when you rebel against him. So this is serious stuff here. Okay? Now, please write this down. Please, if you are getting anything, just type something. Let me even know if I'm talking to the right people or maybe I'm just by myself here. You know. So, Now, please write this down if you have your pen. A covenant relationship is more than a gist partner. I have to come to this level because this is a millennial generation now, you know, and people have all kind of stuff. When you say something, you have to explain it. Okay? A covenant relationship is more than a gist partner. Number two, a covenant relationship is more than somebody who is available. A covenant relationship is more than somebody who is available. There are people that, oh, because they find themselves in Lagos, they look for another covenant partner. It doesn't work that way. It is the way God brought Eve to Adam, is the way God will bring your relationships to you. Oh my God. I wish somebody heard that one now. If you heard that one, you've actually heard something. Huh? You actually heard something. Number three. A covenant relationship is more than someone who knows the Bible. That's why I started the message the way I started it. It's more than somebody who knows the Bible. A covenant relationship is something that two people are going to commit to. It's not a matter of who. You can know the Bible from here to Africa and it doesn't mean nothing. Because you are going to call the guy the day you need somebody to pray with you and the person is not there. And he won't call you back. Some of you have those kind of friends that you say you are best friends. They will even greet you on your birthday because you are very big people. So this is serious stuff here. It's not, is Bible, knowing the Bible is part of it, but I'm just saying it's more than that. It's not that somebody knows the Bible and can speak like it's from France. No, it don't mean nothing. Number four, a covenant relationship is more than somebody who loves you the way you are. Have you been in some of, do you have some of these kind of friends? So have you attended some service, say, I just love you the way you are. I really love you the way you are. It's not really about you're perfect. I just love you the way you are, you know. It's I'm here to support you. I'm here, I'm gonna be with you all the way. I beg, go and check that in very well. Go and check that in very well. Hear me now. Hear me now. That ain't it too. I love you the way you are. That's your friend. Huh? Your covenant relationships, your covenant brother is going to look at you in the eye and say you are wrong. And you can't make him fall under the anointing. You can't make him fall under the anointing. You know what I'm saying? It's not the one that you say, why are you talking to me like this? I will talk to you like that. Because you got too much, nothing will happen. Apologies if you are logging in from the US, UK, Britain, Asia. I just spoke in Nigerian tongue, so just so it's not all those things like love me the way you are, and they are your friends, but your covenant friend will get into your space. There are people that change spiritual father because they correct them. You are not a son, don't even bother. You are not even a son in the first place. I'm enjoying this because this is actually deep stuff. But I really wish somebody would just see what I'm saying. Because the moment you are able to see what a covenant relationship is not, you will start looking beyond all those things. You will not be looking for somebody who is just available. Okay, I mean, I left Benue. I came to Lagos. So you change allegiance. It doesn't work that way. If that person is connected to you, you carry over that relationship. I've been in a relationship with Pastor Desmond since 1999. It's my covenant brother. So I don't hide it. I mean, he's a military man and I'm a civilian, but the relationship is fine. We are happy. I'm happy to have a military head of state and he is happy to have a civilian subject. So we are happy. We are not going for elections. I mean, he's the boss. So it's fine. And if he's listening now, he will tell you that it's true. Okay? So, but there are some people now, if I say this thing that I said now, they will say liar, liar, liar. Because you can't be in a relationship with somebody and both of you don't agree on it. Please hear what I just said. You can't say somebody, for instance, your covenant brother and he doesn't know. That we are gisting and talking and playing don't mean nothing. If we are not on the same page there, we are not there. And I wish somebody would just hear what I'm saying now. So somebody cannot also be your spiritual father and not know it. It's the same thing. Just like say, oh, I'm married. Who is your wife? Then you point to Loretta. Loretta is not even aware she's married. Do you understand? Loretta is not even aware that she's married. And you go about telling people, oh, that's my wife. Oh, that's the person God said I will marry. Loretta is not even aware. Loretta is just serving the Lord. Maybe she's even thinking her husband is somewhere in San Francisco. And you are here saying, oh, God told me this is my wife. Until if God says this person is going to be your covenant brother or is going to play a particular role from a covenant position, both of you have to be on the same page on that matter. So if you consider somebody your spiritual father, it's important to let the person know so that the person will see your call in the night and call you back. Okay, so this is very important. Let me give you some conditions for a covenant relationship. I hope somebody is getting something. This is like a, it's like a, what do you call it now? A tester. We call in Rema class, we call it tester. Even though I refuse to attend, but they call it, I heard they call it tester. But so this is a tester class. And I have to tell you this. Please listen to me. Having covenant relationships above me, at my level, and below me, have bettered my life. Ah, you didn't hear that one. There are certain things I could have done and gotten away with, but I couldn't because of the people who looked up to me. There are certain things I could have done, and I would have probably been, maybe I was hot, I would have been angry, and I would have lost my mind, lost my temper, if not for the kind of friends that God put around me. They would just tell me, oh no, keep quiet, don't worry, we'll handle it, switch off your phone. They just talk to me, and you know. And there are relationships and doors that would not have opened to me if not for fathers. Recommendations, if not for fathers. I see them not just physically, even in my dreams, they come. So this is not game. We are not playing games here. If you want an inheritance, you must be attached to a lineage. You must be attached to a lineage. If you keep changing the goalposts and keep changing allegiances, you will get nothing. And just because you keep watching something on YouTube, don't mean you're going to get nothing. You're not going to get anything. You must have a root. You must have a root. There's something that's called the root of Jesse. You must have a root. They must be able to trace you from somewhere and say, oh, these are the people in his life at every layer, both over you, at your level, and below you. This is serious stuff here. My prophetic root is tied to Pastor Ayo. So I started having those inclinations before I met him. But currently, my roots are tied to him. So if you don't like him, you can San Francisco yourself. I mean, but that's just what it is. So let me give some conditions for a covenant relationship. Number one, for it to be a covenant relationship, it must be forged by the will of God. That means God must be the one orchestrating that relationship between two of you. It must be forged. F-O-R-G-E-D. It will be forged by the will of God. You just notice like God supernaturally brought you and this person together. You may not even be able to say how it happened, but it's going to be a very powerful connection. One thing I notice about covenant relationship many times is that most times you don't even need to know too much about yourself. You just see each other and there's a deep connection in your spirit. I may not know if you're a man of God. You understand? Like the guy that attacked me, Pastor Ego, I was asking me, if I have the Holy Spirit, I should know he's a man of God. I say, I'm not the one that called you, so I don't know if you're a man of God. All I know are the people God put in my life. I don't know about you. You are man. For all I care, I'm here winning souls. You are in a saloon for women. So I don't know what you are doing here. So the relationship must be forged by the will of God. And listen to me, what brings about a relationship is what will sustain it. I hope somebody is hearing something. So look at those people around you. Those people that you say they are very close to you, how did you meet them? The reason why you are friends, is it because right now they live around your area or opportunity has brought two of you together? Those are things you need to check. Or by some stroke of destiny, do you see God making that connection for both? Because before you can leave that relationship, God is the one that will tell you. That's the thing about covenant relationship. It's God that ends it. It's God that ends it. And if you refuse to end it, he will break it. A good example is Paul and Barnabas. After they quarreled, God did not even bother to say they should settle. As far as God is concerned, that relationship is over. So for it to meet the condition of a covenant relationship, it must be orchestrated by God. There must be a sense in which both of you see that, it's like God is doing something. Number two, there will be a heart connection. Don't buy into that thing people say like, I don't like him, I just find myself with him. Oga, if it is of the Lord, there will be a heart connection. You will feel that you are connected to this person in a very powerful way. I don't know if I'm talking somewhere right now. You may be a pastor. You may be the child of a pastor. But your dad may not necessarily be your spiritual father. It's possible. So please think about it. Don't forget what I said. A teacher imparts knowledge. A father trains knowledge. He trains. He doesn't just talk about it. He walks you through it. Well, I don't know. One of my friends that I serve as a mentor in his life, but he had mentioned something to me. And I just told him, I said, the Lord said, go off social media for some time. And that was all. Problem solved. Now, the problem had nothing to do with social media. The problem had nothing to do with, but that was the instruction. One of the ways you will know that God has assigned you to a mentor is that he will always have God's word in his mouth for you. Somebody should write down one. I say one of the ways you will know that God has assigned somebody to you is that when you hear him, it's like God is talking to you through him. You'll be feeling it. It may not be a fantastic preacher, but you'll be feeling it like, he's saying something. And it's going to be consistent. It's going to be consistent. I'm not talking about a good preacher. I'm talking about a word for you. So it's a heart thing. Somebody is a covenant brother, it's a covenant sister. Not because both of you are close. There's a heart connection. If something is going wrong with that person, you will feel it where you are. You will feel it. The same thing with your wife and your spouse, or your spiritual father, your mentor, and those mentees. You will feel it at that level. It's a heart connection. That's why, I say to you, if you sense that somebody is, you have a covenant relationship, if the person is not seeing it, go to the person and say, Laura, I sense God wants us to, talk about it. If the person is not feeling like it, move on. Don't tie your godly emotions to somebody who doesn't want you. And don't force yourself on anybody. Because it's supposed to be a covenant relation. Covenant means that we both understand that there will be responsibilities for each party in this relationship. That's why it is difficult. A shepherd sheep relationship is also a covenant relationship. I cannot be your pastor unless you permit me. Do you understand? And you cannot be a sheep except I also allow, if not, you are just attending that church. So this is a serious stuff. And that's why God will mandate the shepherd to go after the sheep that is lost. He will leave 99 and go after the one that is lost because there is a covenant relationship. Come on now. I wish somebody is hearing me now. Number three, indicators, things you should look at. Conditions for covenant relation. Number three, there must be a willingness from both parties to commit. There must be a willingness. Because Jonathan loved David as his own soul. It was a mutual thing. It wasn't Jonathan trying to fig like, I want to be close to the guy who killed Goliath. No. That wasn't it. If Jonathan had met David under a separate circumstance, he would have still connected. So it's not proximity. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a relationship that both of us will commit to. It's not the one that you will pick up your phone and say, hey, you don't pick up. Someone will call you since morning. Okay? Just stay in your lane. You are a friend. You are not a covenant friend. The moment you call that person and he wasn't picking, why didn't the Holy Ghost tell you that, that person is in trouble? Start praying. So you can't be best friends simply because you are on WhatsApp. One of our fathers in the faith said he mistakenly downloaded WhatsApp. And the thing sent, popped up on everybody's phone. Who had that? Bishop is now on WhatsApp. Everybody started saying message. Daddy, welcome. Finally. Yeah, he just quickly deleted the thing. What was this? I don't know what. I can't use this thing. I mean, you just have like 5,000 people sending you message. Daddy, welcome. Daddy, I beg. I'm not there for this one. He deleted the thing immediately. If you want to talk to me, call me. There must be a willingness to commit. This is the aspect people won't tell you. Do you understand? This is the aspect where you will be calling somebody for hours, they will not pick. Somebody else beside you will call that person. That man will pick immediately. I don't know if somebody is hearing me now. Because there is also, maybe in another message, I'll talk about the responsibilities that comes with covenant relationship. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why is it that God always speaks to a particular person about you? Have you ever thought about it? You have like this mentor or this spiritual father or this pastor, and he every time, like God, God just ministers to him about you. He just asks something about, he has something that, like an information, something for you. God is telling you something. Number four, both conditions for covenant relationship, both of you must have a clear understanding of what the Lord is trying to do. It's not for you to go and start a church and tell your covenant friend to come and be assistant pastor. That's not what we are talking about here. It's not for you people to be thinking of how you run away from Nigeria. That's not what covenant relationship is meant for. There is a will that God is trying to establish. Because many times, people who follow God, they are usually very lonely. Oh my God, I wish somebody heard that one. People who follow God, many times they are very lonely. They're on the narrow path. So they don't really have too many people like them, So I don't know if you've ever found yourself in that situation where, you have people, you have friends, but you don't really have friends. So it's like that for people who work with God. Sometimes it's very hard. And they go through a lot of backstabbing. They go through a lot of pain that they can't talk about. Okay? So if God is bringing somebody into your space as a covenant friend, as a covenant brother, covenant sister, and both of you must agree that it is the Lord that has brought you together. Before you start watching Netflix and Anaconda and Beautiful Snake, agree on the nature of this relationship. So that you won't be... These are the things people don't know. Then they wonder why, I thought she was my covenant friend. I told her my secret. We used to pray together. All of a sudden, she stopped talking to me. Because people didn't agree. Every covenant is based on agreement. Number five. One of the things you will notice, for those of you who are already in covenant relationship, and it's a condition, is that relationship will be easy to maintain. If it's a covenant relationship, it will be easy to maintain. You won't need to be pouring oil on that side, on that idol every day. You like Songo, or like those idols we have in Benin, where they pour palm oil every day. You won't need to be doing that. Some of you have friends who say they are your good friends, but if you don't call them, they won't call you. Some of you have friends that if you don't look for them, they won't look for you. Some of you have friends that even your own best friend, they forget your birthday. Even Facebook doesn't remind them. You know what I'm saying? So this is serious stuff here. The relationship will be easy to maintain. You won't have a lot of pressure maintaining it. Because in your heart, it's just like you now, you have a sister, two of you sisters at home. Do you try to keep her as your sister? You can't do anything about it. She's your sister. If you like, fight from today to 1844 or 2044. She's still going to be your sister. You can't de-sister her. You can't unsister her. You can't unlist her. You can't delist her. You can't do nothing. Anywhere you go, you say, that's my sister. You can't change it. You can't change it. That relationship is easy to maintain. It's easy to maintain. Oh, this is your speech. Oh, no wonder he prophesies the way he does. Oh, no wonder he talks the way. There was a day I wasn't in church. Maybe Pastor David is even listening now. And somebody was watching our live stream on Facebook from Niger Republic. He was coming in from Niger Republic and was watching our live stream and said, oh, I was listening to Pastor David. You know, he said he thought I was the one. Said that he thought I was the one that person was preaching that, like Pastor Gwenga. He said it was when he looked after like 5-7 minutes, he realized, oh, this is not Pastor Gwenga. Then he called me, where are you? I said, I'm not in town. I think I was far away in Benin City or somewhere. So it's not, there will be resemblance. That's just what I'm saying. So the relationship will be easy to maintain. No pressure, no ogre at the top situation, no problem. Easy to maintain. Number 6, condition for covenant relationship, you must allow patience to test that relationship. You must allow patience to test that relationship. Allow patience to prove that person's heart. The day, Pastor Ego, the day that Jonathan's father said he was going to kill David in the council meeting was the test that God set for Jonathan. That's the day God would have known if Jonathan was a friend only on his lips or he was a friend at heart. Test that relationship. Tell the person something that is a lie and see whether somebody will say that in outside. Test that relationship. People are on metaverse now. Nothing is real anymore. Test that relationship. It was in those days, relationships were better when there were no phones. I'm telling you, you won't believe it. Test that relationship. Number 7. A covenant relationship will have a life of its own. You won't need to make it interesting. It comes with its own DNA. I don't know if you have some of these friends that you don't see every day, but every time you see, you just continue from where you left off. I don't know if you have something, I just type something. You just have these friends. It's like you just continue. It's not like you are trying to remember what you said last. Somehow you just connect from where you stopped and you continue flowing like no gap. Somebody can be in Nigeria and his covenant friend will be in the UK. And he will be telling people, oh, this is my best friend. Meanwhile, people in Nigeria fighting for his attention, he doesn't look at them. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's how powerful covenant relation. Distance doesn't affect it. You can't change address from Kauran and Moda to Abuja or to Lagos. All of a sudden, you are looking for another covenant relation. It doesn't work that way. If my son is schooling in Abuja and they say, I will take a first flight and go there, it doesn't matter. It's not a matter of, like, do you want to go? I'm going. That's my son. The same thing in spiritual relationships. I'm going to stop here because of time. Let me leave you with one final word. Our God is a God of covenant relationships. Look at the way he worked with Abraham. Altar after altar. Promise after promise, fulfillment after fulfillment, because he's a covenant God. He called him out of the land of his fathers, and from that first meeting, he already told him, this is what I will do in your life. If you are listening to me now, and you've never understood your relationship with God as a covenant relationship, that is the number one relationship we should be talking about. He said, let us make man in our own image. That is the highest privilege given to someone in covenant. Because in covenant, my identity becomes yours and yours becomes mine. When a man gets married to a woman, they become one. It takes a name. They share each other's body. They share each other's resources. They become one. They become one in everything. So when God said, let them have dominion, God was taking something that was peculiar to his nature and giving it to man because of his covenant with man. And I will come back, I don't know when, maybe very soon, and I will explain to you how that God, after making Adam, he said the name is Adama. Adama, the sons of Adam. Then after a few chapters in Genesis, he changed that thing from the sons of Adam to the children of men. And I will come and explain that on another day. It will be, probably be on a Sunday. But I want you to know that God is a covenant-keeping God. God is covenanted. He loved those who are covenanted to him. In fact, he said to us in scripture, call together all my sons who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I leave you with this final word. The greatest strength of any covenant relationship is sacrifice. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for tonight and we thank you for the release of your word. Lord, let your word proceed with great power. Let it bring understanding. Let it bring illumination. Let it bring light to the listeners. Let it help somebody who is listening. Let it help those who are in a strained relationship with you to be restored. Let it bring faith and grace and encouragement to everybody tonight. And let every heart be blessed as we meditate on these words and as we put them to work in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.